Blog Talk Radio.
Hear our cry, Lord, we pray. Our faces down, our hands are raised. You called us. We turned away, we turned away. With shipwrecks fade, idols rise. We do what is right in our own eyes. Our children now will pay the price. We need your shine your light. If we've ever needed you, Lord, it's now. Lord, it's now. We are desperate for your hand. We're reaching out. We're reaching out. All our hearts, all kingdom come in our hearts and lives. Let your church arise. Let your church arise. If we've ever needed you, Lord, it's now. Lord, it's now. We are desperate for your hand. We're reaching out.
Imagination, we were not on the air last week. We thought we had run out of time to put the show together and instead remembered a week late that we had already put the show together. So, first, we do apologize. Tonight, we're going to be taking a look at jurisdiction of law from a faith-based point of view. History is one of those things that is being rewritten by people who are wanting to analyze what happened from a perspective instead of just following what was written at the time that history was actually taking place. This is good for people who have the mindset of the direction our world is heading into today. But for people of faith who are not understanding based on the soundbite news they hear, we have a treat for you. Real history that formed our laws based on how the original lawmakers lived and thought. We'll bring you more of these at a later time. We've been slammed by not bringing more information on current events regarding the Donald. We may have put some of those in here for you, but can't remember for sure. So guess we'll all be surprised at that when we get on the show tonight. So let's go on with the show.
Laws. They are designed to protect our freedoms, but not all laws are created equal. How do we know the good from the bad? Where does the concept of law originate? What laws stand the test of time? Who should be writing our laws today? Join historian David Barton with special guests, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, as they explore the America our founding fathers envisioned. What if America's story is bolder, more colorful, and more compelling than you ever imagined?
Welcome to Foundations of Freedom, where we look at important aspects of our common heritage about which most Americans today have been told absolutely nothing. Join me today is Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Michelle is a federal tax attorney. She is a successful businesswoman. She's a very successful mom, having raised 5 of her own kids and 23 foster kids. She's also a member of Congress. And in Congress, she serves on some of the most important committees, such as the House Intelligence Committee, which is in charge of our national secrets. Michelle, great to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here today. And I'm looking forward to unlocking some secrets here as well that a lot of Americans aren't familiar with, and that's really dealing with important issues and a scary word called jurisdiction, but it's actually such a blessing.
Yeah.
Not only for Americans, because just that issue alone, we'll unpack it during the course of this conversation, but people will learn how this gives us freedom. And how this gives us the ability to be able to take what our talents are and be creative,
yes,
and build up the society, and how where you have violations of jurisdiction in other countries, people aren't quite so free. And now we even see that impact here in the United
That's
States.
Right.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it. So I'm looking forward to it. As a matter of fact, do you mind if we start with the first
Let's
question?
Let's do it.
There seem to be so many laws addressing moral and religious issues, where you can and can't pray, how you can pray, the marriage issue, all those things. I was just wondering, what's up with all these laws?
Very simple answer is jurisdictions, that word you were talking about.
Let's define it.
Jurisdictions, probably the best way to find it is, let me give a couple examples. I'm from Texas. You're from Minnesota. I've got a pickup. You probably don't. Mine's red. Yours probably isn't. And I decide I really like red. So I go over to your house and spray paint your car red. I can't do that. That's not my jurisdiction. That car belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me. I can spray paint anything I want red if it belongs to me. I can't spray paint stuff that belongs to you.
So jurisdiction, it's an area.
It's a fence.
It's a fence.
It's your neighborhood.
Area. And it says, I have authority right here.
Right here. This is my stuff. I'm in control
of
it.
But I don't have authority here.
That's right.
And I don't have authority here.
That's right.
Or here or here.
A neighborhood with all those fences.
But I do here.
Right there.
It's not just geography.
Oh, no. No. It's more than geography. It's responsibilities. That's your jurisdiction.
Give an example of your jurisdiction in your own life. Where are some areas where you have jurisdiction?
In my own life, I have jurisdiction over what I learn. I'm responsible for what I learn. I'm responsible for what I say. I have jurisdiction over my words. I have jurisdiction over my behavior. I'm accountable to God for my behavior. I'm accountable to civil laws for my behavior. Those are all things that I can control.
Yeah.
No one else can control that. I can't control your behavior. Now, I might can punish you if you do something wrong because that's the jurisdiction of government, but I can't control your behavior. I can't control your thoughts.
And here's another example. One night I was watching a show, and they have 19 children in this homeschooling family, and one of the little boys said that he had an area of jurisdiction. He was a 5-year-old, and he had to go and I think take the laundry out of the washing machine,
yeah,
and put it in the dryer. He understood that this was his area of authority.
That's right.
Where he had something to do. So it isn't just a government official. It isn't just an adult. Each one of us has an area of authority, an area of responsibility. If you're a husband, if you're a wife, if you're a child, if you're an employee, employer, if you're a neighbor, if you're a government official.
Mm-hmm.
And so where it impacts all of us, this issue of jurisdiction, because government is supposed to be limited,
yep,
under our form of government, so the president only has so much authority.
That's right.
No further.
That's right.
Because the Constitution tells the president under Article 2, you get to do this, be the executive, you get to enforce,
mm-hmm,
our laws, but Mr. President, You can't make the laws.
That's right.
That's Congress.
Judges make the laws.
Nor can judges. That's right. Another area of jurisdiction. Because they get to interpret the law. And that's when we get messed up a little bit.
Now, see, what becomes an important thing here is who's in charge. Who can tell me what my jurisdiction is? And that's a question that has to be answered. Now, it was answered originally for 380 years in America, was God defined jurisdictions first, and then within jurisdictions, people defined those jurisdictions. For example, you have Matthew 22:21, where Jesus said, look, you render to Caesar what's Caesar's, you render to God what's God. You got a line here that separates them. That's where we had institutional separation of church and state. We never separate God out of anything. But we don't let church officials run government.
So government is secular.
That's right. Government's not secular. But government doesn't run the church, and the church doesn't run government until we got into about 371 A.D. Emperor Theodosius.
Where was he?
He was considered world emperor at the time. He was taking over the world.
Emperor of the world.
Of the world. And
why don't we hear about him?
Well, we don't, and we should, but we do such a lousy job on history. There's a lot of people we don't hear about.
Yep.
But Theodosius is the first guy to say, oh, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I decree Christianity the only religion you can follow. If you're not a Christian, you're going to get killed.
So he was a government ruler.
He was a government ruler.
And a government ruler who mandated what everyone's religion
what everybody's going to believe and what they're going to, and going to punish them if they didn't follow
and
that religion.
And I imagine that didn't work out real well.
Well, it led to 1,200 years of what we now call the Dark Ages. And the government officials put the Bible out of reach from the common person. And as a matter of fact, when Wycliffe and Huston and other guys just tried to make it in English so we could read it, they got themselves killed by civil officials. Original laws.
This is the right time, I think, to interject what most of the viewers have heard, which is Thomas Jefferson's separation of church and state.
Yep.
And so most viewers think that what Jefferson was saying is that government should have absolutely nothing to do with religion, right?
Dead wrong.
Dead wrong. And what we learned is that not only should government not have anything to do with religion, but we shouldn't even be allowed to speak about religious things in the public square. But he was writing a letter to the Danbury Baptists, wasn't he? And in that letter, he was saying just the opposite, right?
Well, see, what you have is coming into Jefferson's time frame, America was founded fighting for separation church and state, because you had Henry VIII who said, I'm going to set up my own church. I'll do what I want to do.
Another civil government official who mandated religion.
Across Europe, it was the state taking over the church and saying, here's what your doctrines are going to be.
The state taking over the church. That's the important point.
And when that happens, when the state takes it over, you do not get freedom of conscience. You do not get freedom.
You lose your liberty.
And so what happened?
That's what was so big in the United States. We changed that.
That's right. For example, the French said, you will be Catholic. Well, 400,000 people left the country for not being Catholics. They came to America. They founded largely New York and South Carolina, but they came here seeking religious freedom. So you have Protestants who came out of France. You have Jews that came out of Portugal because they were told, you've got to be a Christian. Well, they come to America. And
people don't recognize that.
There was
a large Jewish population
that came in, again, seeking freedom of conscience. Freedom
to worship.
Because the state's not supposed to tell us what our doctrines are. That's a church response. That's not a state response. That's a jurisdiction of the church, not of the state. But the state has taken over the jurisdiction of the church. So you get all these people coming to America that say, we want a separation church and state. We don't want the state telling us what our doctrines are going to be.
This is enormous. And I think people need to recognize what a huge dividing line this was. Yet one more reason why the United States was truly a shining city on a hill.
It was.
Because the whole thinking in the world at that time was civil government overstepping their authority.
Out of their jurisdiction.
Out of their jurisdiction. Because if you read the Bible tells us what the government can do.
That's right. And what the church can do. And what parents can do.
But it doesn't say that civil government can tell you or tell me what our religion is going to
be. It tells you exactly the opposite, actually, because you had King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26 who steps into the temple and says, I've decided I'm going to become a priest. I'm going to offer sacrifices in the temple. And the priest says, whoa, you're the civil leader. We're the religion. He said, don't ever tell a king what a king can. And he tried tried to offer it. God struck him down at the altar because he overstepped the jurisdiction.
That's how important it is to God.
Government that won't recognize jurisdictions. The church wasn't taking over the government. The government was taking over the church.
That's right.
And it's the one that encroaches most often.
And that's what Jefferson saw.
And that's what Jefferson saw. So you have this background. These guys come to America. When they get here, they separate church and state. The pilgrims separated church and state. Now, they didn't take God out of anything.
Now, think of what that means, separation of church and state. What did it look like to our early fathers and mothers?
It was keeping God in the middle of everything, but you did not allow the leaders of the civil government to tell you what church to attend, what your conscience beliefs were, what you would be penalized with. I actually have lost it.
Penalty was key.
Penalty was
key.
That
was your key word.
It was coercion.
Because now civil government would penalize me because I didn't believe the way they wanted me to. And guess what? That is not civil government's jurisdiction.
It's just
only God.
Only God. And let's roll it forward 300 years. They objected to the government telling you what words you could and couldn't use when you prayed. They objected to the government telling you what your beliefs of conscience would and wouldn't be and what you would do as followers. They objected to government saying you can't do these religious exercises in public. You have to do them in private. All the things that are happening today that government's doing, and government's now coercing conscience, those are religious decisions.
That's right, because what you've just done, David, is you tied what's happened here in America in the last few months with what the founders foresaw in the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
Because the Declaration of Independence made it very, very clear that governments were instituted among men. Why? To secure for you and me and all of our posterity my inalienable rights. In other words, government doesn't have the jurisdiction to give me the right of my conscience.
Well, let's go back to Jefferson, because Jefferson got the letter, as you said, from the Danbury Baptist. Now, why is it significant that he got from the Baptist? Because Jefferson lived in a state of Virginia that had a state-established church. It was the Anglican Church, the same official church in Great Britain.
This is before we became America.
Before we became a nation.
The different states had their own religion.
They had
a lot of people don't realize
churches.
That.
That's right.
State religion.
And in Virginia, you had the Anglicans jailing and killing and imprisoning Baptists and Presbyterians and Methodists and Quakers because you aren't doing the Anglican thing.
And yet you were forced to pay
everybody's forced to pay for the Anglican church.
And violate your conscience.
That's right. And Jefferson is the guy who stepped in and said, no, all denominations are equal in Virginia. And so in 1776...
And that's so huge that Jefferson said on his tombstone, I mean, think what you want on your tombstone, what I want on my tombstone. He said, rather than putting on that he was
president
of the United States, he wanted written on his tombstone that he was the one who was involved with religious liberty.
Yeah.
To secure religious liberty for every man.
It's not a secular move. He wasn't making things secular.
No,
he was saying, government, leave him alone. And so when he becomes president of the United States, the Danbury Baptists are in a state that still has a state-established denomination even at that point. While he's president, they still have... Connecticut did not disestablish their denomination until 1818. So we're talking 1801. The Danbury Baptists wrote Jefferson said, we're really concerned. I mean, we are guaranteed our free exercise of religion, but that's a government guarantee, and it's not supposed to be. That guarantee came from God, not from government.
Recently, this has been a big, big issue.
Well, let's take that, because God establishes jurisdictions, and God comes
areas
in.
Areas of authority.
Areas of authority.
Areas of authority.
He said, here's what the family does. Here's what the church does. Here's what civil government does. Now, within civil government, these are the areas that civil government can do. So, in that area, the people become the authority in that area. God's already established the fences. Now, how things are going to run inside that fence, we determine. So, we come up with the Constitution, we the people, and it says federal government, there's a lot of governments out here. We got local governments, we got school board governments, we got city governments, we got state governments, we got federal governments. Here's the deal. We're telling you, federal government, there's 17 things you can do out of all the tens of millions
under
of things.
Under the Constitution.
Under the Constitution. We're giving you a Constitution. That Constitution says you can do 17 things and nothing else. Everything else belongs to us.
Okay, now that's a really big point.
That's a really big point.
Because now government has arrogated to itself so much more than that limitation.
That's right.
So again, I think we'd want to encourage all of your viewers to pick up a copy of the Constitution.
That's right.
Pick up a copy of the Declaration. You'll be floored when you see the president is only told to faithfully execute the laws on the book.
Who makes the laws?
Congress.
Oh.
I am one of the privileged 435 members of the House of Representatives.
Right.
We make the laws
that's
what our Constitution says.
We the people told you, you guys
so
make the laws.
Let's rightfully understand our government. It begins from an understanding of a holy God.
That's right.
Then it begins with that understanding of a God, and people, the people of this country, wrote down in
a
constitution for our protection the limits of what our government can do.
It's
written in that
document.
Let me
press that for just a minute. Why did we write it down? Because that was not what they did in Great Britain. To this day, they still do not have a written constitution there. But you had all these Bible-minded people that came to America. And so as you look at the early sermons, for example, Thomas Hooker, one of the founders of Connecticut, preached a great sermon on this. Why do we write everything down? By the way, Reverend Nathaniel Ward gave them the first written Bill of Rights, 100 rights that are protected from government. Why'd they do that?
Why not? Otherwise, you don't know.
Well, but see, the reason they did was because that's the Bible. When God says, hey, I've got a nation, I'm writing the laws of my own finger. And then Moses wrote down the laws of Moses, and then every king of Israel after that, when they were anointed, were to write down with their own hand every law. And then that way we got something to go back to. And so we have a written constitution so that every individual citizen can go back to it and say, whoa, this is your jurisdiction. It's written down right here, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 8.
And
this
that's
is what
why
you
have lawyers who go in and contend over one word or one comma.
That's
because
right.
It has meaning.
It's written.
And
it
that's why
meaning.
There's this whole postmodern idea called deconstruction, that words are meaningless.
Yeah.
That's the whole philosophy of relativism. We aren't about relativism.
We're fixed.
We're about a fixed moral absolutes, because if you want success, you need to have a fixed moral absolute. For instance, if you and I make a contract together, it
protects
us.
It needs to be fixed, that's right.
It has to be fixed.
It's
jurisdiction. You lose the most important thing you have, your liberty, your ability to be able to construct contracts, property law, tort law, whatever it is, you lose that benefit, that certainty. So you have a God who is the example of law. Then you have a written constitution. And then under our constitution, you have an executive who enforces the law.
All written down.
The legislative who writes the law.
All written down.
Creates it. And then the judicial that interprets it.
That's right.
But the judicial can't be the legislative. The legislative can't be the judicial. Legislative can't be executive.
That's
executive
right.
can't be judicial. And we see that problem where, just one example, we've heard recently that our president may decide that he by himself, with a pen and maybe a phone, is going to change all of America's immigration law by himself. In other words, he will write the law himself by his pronouncement, but jurisdiction won't let him, and that's a denial of Article 2, which says to the president, you must faithfully execute the laws on the books. Well, if the law is not on the books,
you can't execute it. You guys in Congress
make
it.
But if there are laws, like, for instance, marriage is between a man and a woman, and the president said, I'm not going to execute that law. I don't think it's constitutional. Well, he is not the Supreme Court. The court is the court.
Yeah.
They're the ones who need to decide if marriage is between a man and a woman. That's what people wrote it as. You see, it impacts every person watching this show. Every person's life is impacted by jurisdiction. What's your area of authority? Because when somebody oversteps their bounds, you lose
your liberties, your freedoms.
And that's why the founders said, this is everything.
I want to go into the chamber where you serve, because in your
House of Representatives, Washington, D.C.,
around
in the U.S. Capitol,
23 lawgivers are honored, because that is the place where the law comes, out of the House. So you have 23 lawgivers, and they're all side profile views except for one, and that's
Moses. And can I just say, I have literally had tears come to my eyes. I've given speeches on this on the House floor. I stand in that chamber surrounded by the greatest lawgivers in history. Solon, Suleiman, Justinian, Innocent III, Hammurabi, all of the lawgivers of history, like you said, in their side profile. But above the main double doors, the doors that the President of the United States enters when he's going to give the State of the Union address, that door is the door above that has a full-on, full-face view of only one lawgiver, and that's of Moses. And as we know, a holy God gave to Moses the moral law, the Ten Commandments, the law upon which every other law has descended, and upon which no other law, if it violates that moral law, could stand, because that is the ultimate law. How interesting. The face of Moses looks down upon the Speaker of the House.
That's right.
The Speaker stands at the dais and looks up at Moses. So too, the President of the United States, when he delivers his address to the nation and to the members of Congress and the Supreme Court and the ambassadors and all the heads of state, this is a very important moment in the United States when our president does that. He looks directly into the face of Moses. Because we understand in this country that we are a nation of laws, not men.
But when you become secular, you ignore jurisdictions. Those jurisdictions given by the lawgiver, the Bible, given by Moses through God. And it's
so sad.
This thing
because
right
it
here,
degrades us.
It does.
As a nation. It degrades our liberties, and it degrades the greatness of a nation. And that's what God understood from Old Testament times. The greatness of a nation is built up by his law.
This is the Ten Commandments. This is what we say Moses, the great lawgiver, he gave lots of laws, 613, but also the Ten Commandments. God gave it to him. This particular copy is the copy that went to the U.S. Supreme Court case in 1980 called Stone v. Graham.
Yeah.
This is the case in which the Supreme Court said, oh, you can't let kids see this. This is the one. You can't let kids see this. They might obey things like don't kill and don't steal and don't perjure yourself.
Don't lie.
You know, the court said if kids were to see this, they might obey it. Now, what's interesting is Moses gave this in 1440 B.C. There's one other lawgiver in the chamber there that precedes Moses, and that is Hammurabi, and he's 1772 B.C.
Babylonian.
This case that went through Stone v. Graham, we were involved in a lot of the Ten Commandments cases. That was a really popular thing 20, 25 years ago. And as these were hanging in courthouses...
Because the effort was to remove them. Remember the ACLU and other organizations, their goal was to strip out of the United States a sense from all Americans, especially children, to not understand the moral law.
The moral law. That's right. And it's interesting, in America, it was always easier to find the Ten Commandments hanging in a courthouse than a church house, because this is the basis of civil law.
It was true.
Inside the U.S. Supreme Court is more than 59 depictions of the Ten Commandments inside the Supreme Court.
I've seen it.
And they ruled it. So, with all this, as we were going through these cases, Hammurabi, the court said, you know, we could let you leave the Ten Commandments up if you surrounded it with other documents as well as American law. And they said, for example, if you were to put up the Ten Commandments and the Code of Hammurabi and Justinian's Code, then we could leave it. Well, first off, that told me they knew nothing about history because they think this is too religious. The Code of Justinian, Justinian is one of the lawgivers in the house.
Yeah.
The Code of Justinian begins with the phrase, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you got trouble with this, and you're telling me it's in Justinian? And then they say, oh, it's got to be documents that influenced American history like Hammurabi's Code, because he's 350 years before most. Time out. They didn't discover Hammurabi's Code till 1901. It was not translated till 1904.
I don't think that had much influence.
What's interesting is, why did the Code of Hammurabi not survive and the Code of Moses, why did it survive?
Tell
it's
us.
Real easy. Let me read to you two laws from Hammurabi. There's 282 laws in his code. It says, law number two, if anyone bring an accusation against a man, and the accused go to the river and leap in the river, if he sink in the river, his accuser shall take possession of his house. But if the river proves that the accused is not guilty and he escape unhurt, then he who had brought the accusation shall be put to death, while he who leaped into the river shall take possession of the house that had belonged to the accuser. See, that's why the Code of Hammurabi did not survive.
And where in the world ever in United States law
did you ever see
any of this replicated?
No.
It's nonsense.
This is what we use, and we're saying, oh, we can't acknowledge it. See, this establishes jurisdictions.
This is
part of God's law, and this is universal. I don't care what age you live in. I don't care how far you think you've evolved. This applies 6,000 years ago. It applies now, and it applies 6,000 years
from now. And tell me which parent wants their child to steal or wants them to kill or wants them to go and lie about people or desire something
but
that wants somebody else so much.
Separation of church and state.
Well, that's right. But what's amazing is that this is our key for happiness.
That's right.
It has been
that's
for
right.
all time,
it
and
is.
It is today. And again, it comes down to jurisdiction areas of authority. There isn't one person that's watching this interaction between us that doesn't have an area of jurisdiction.
That's right.
Because God, in his love for each individual, again, it goes back to how God doesn't see us in groups. Think of how amazing a God is, that he loves each one of us so much that we have dignity and worth and a voice. And in a system of government like the United States, he has given the maximum amount of voice to the individual and yet allowed us to be able
That's
to
right.
live together at peace among all men. What a beautiful thing, and why we must contend for this.
That's right.
We can't let it
well,
go.
That's our action items, because if you're going to understand jurisdictions, you have to understand God's the one who established them. Then if you don't understand how they work, read the Constitution. And so it lays out so many of those jurisdictions, and it tells us what the jurisdictions are. I mean, that's the starting place.
It's black and white. It's as clear as it could possibly be. Article 1, Article 2, Article 3. How long would it take someone to read it?
20 minutes, maybe.
Okay, 20 minutes. Everybody can do that. Absolutely everybody has time to do that. But before you do that, take, what, 10 minutes? And
yeah.
read the Declaration of Independence. That's kind of the whole philosophy behind
the
Constitution. You got to read that first.
If you don't get the Declaration, you don't get the foundation.
Because then
that.
It puts meat on the bones of jurisdiction, area of authority. But there's something that even backs up before the Declaration, before the Constitution, and that is...
Well, it's actually the Bible, because in that jurisdiction that's there in the Constitution, you have like the three branches of government that you mentioned. It comes directly out of the Bible.
And
Bible.
What's the scripture?
It's Isaiah 33:22.
Okay, so everybody has to read Isaiah 33:22.
It says, "The Lord our God is our lawgiver, our judge, and our king." That sounds like judiciary, legislative, and executive.
Yeah.
And interesting enough, John Adams himself said, well, not only that, but the reason that we separated the powers, when we have checks and balances, is Jeremiah 17:9.
What?
Most folks have never read that. The Founders' Bible's got all these explanations from Founders and Bible verses they use. So you start with reading the Constitution, read the Declaration, read the Bible, which includes the Ten Commandments. Learn these things. Get to where you know these.
Something tells me we're going to be talking a little more about separation of powers. I think that'll be very important.
That's key.
This is so great. This has been a great, great time. Thank you so much.
Well, these are the documents that are part of our Foundations of Freedom, and that's
okay.
exactly what we want to learn and know.
We've got our work to do, and we're going to do
right.
it.
Well, that was very interesting. I really enjoyed that. That was very enlightening, and I don't think that's what we're doing in our country. Blog Talk Mom?
Yeah, I really appreciate Wild Bill and you for doing this tonight, because I guess it was in the material that I received for homeschooling a year or so ago, and DVDs about the Constitution and different things, and it brought out then that so much that we hear today is not it's been changed. Our history has been changed. It's not like it literally was, and we do need to hear that. We need to be reminded of these, like a jurisdiction. Technically, God has jurisdiction over everything, his world, and that's very interesting. I didn't know. Did he say that lady had she had five children, and then what I didn't get that part right there.
Foster,
like 15.
Foster kids. I forget how many foster kids she had.
Oh, foster children. Okay, all right.
Foster children. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes, that was
in the world.
Marsha Blackburn. I think she is our Tennessee state representative.
I don't know how she could do that. I mean, you wouldn't ever get to go to bed.
I was kind of wondering that too, but she hasn't always been, you know, a representative. She's kind of climbed the ladder. You know, now she is, you know, at the national level. She was on at state level before. You know, I don't know what her history is. We have Wild Bill.
Yeah, I was trying to think of that woman's name that was on the show. That wasn't Marsha Blackburn that was on there. And There's an actual book that they've put together of all the things in historical context to show where we took the turn of all of a sudden deciphering it to mean one thing where it really says something else. And it's amazing to me, the older you get, the more you see of things like that happening. When I was a kid, they came up with a new restaurant called Kentucky Fried Chicken. And they had this real distinguished man in a white suit and a cane, Colonel Sanders. He had the little white beard and the glasses. And, you know, he was a man that he adopted a child every year of his, and every year he had a birthday, he adopted a child. Now, he got on up in years, and I don't know what kind of staff had to be involved in this. I understood they had their own school. They were homeschooled off the property and all these things that he did there. But now, all of a sudden, they decided to bring the colonel back. And what they do is really is a slap in the face to what Colonel Sanders really was. It's like the version they make of the new colonel is like an idiot. And so the kids of today, this is the only Colonel Sanders that they're going to know, to where we knew the original person who started Kentucky Fried Chicken, their family recipe. And so the perspective that we do is where we take things and we change meanings on it is so dangerous, not just in our political system, but also in our church system, because that's the reason why we have so many denominational faiths, is because people want to take something and say, well, I'll take this part of this, but I don't think this part fits, and I'll throw it away. Or I'm going to change this. I'm going to take one scripture out of this one book in the New Testament and James here, and I'm going to take what it says about believing, and I'm going to make a whole doctrine on that without ever teaching people what it means to believe. And it's just amazing to me that everything is happening in our society. And I almost did a show today on what's going on in Florida, what happened in Walmart today, and the things with the Russians hacking into security systems here in the United States. And we may look at doing some of that next week. I like the way till things come full circle so that you can tell from the people who are trying to get their 15 seconds of fame versus people that really have truth to what's going on. Because it's so easy to want to sensationalize, especially when it's already a situation that's so dramatic. I mean, you got 50-something people killed, 50-something people injured. You know, this is awful. This is something that's happened in our country that, you know, we used to think can never happen. But yet, it did. And you can't put it back under the carpet, can't put it back in a box, lots of keys, and, well, you know, this is not going to happen. But you watch, somewhere in this world tarries, the history of that will be written and changed several times to fit whatever it is that people want to use it for. And I'd just like to know what you think about that too, Block Talk Mom.
Well, the perception thing, while Bill is so interesting. I'm getting an echo really badly.
Right now.
Okay. I was talking to someone about the incident with the gorilla and the little boy that fell in at the zoo, and they had a very logical explanation. They killed the animal. There was just, you know, they didn't have that much time just to make sure that the child was safe. So between the child and the animal, then they killed the animal. Well, then the very next people that I talked to were furious. They said that the animal was going to protect the child. They didn't have any right. You know, so everybody's got their own perception of everything. And there's cognitive disorders, you know, that we face all the time. And then if you start messing with the actual facts, And then you just begin to talk about people's opinions and their cognitive way of evaluating it. You got mass confusion. And then this generation doesn't really, you know, they've gone all the way through school being taught about evolution, you know, the school system, and then that literally that there was, I think they say there was some kind of big bang, and all of a sudden the earth appeared, you know, through some cosmic deal. And one Christian writer said that'd be like taking a printing shop and blowing it up, and when it all the pieces of the printing shop came back down, you'd have an set of encyclopedias. You know, that's not really going to happen. And but if you put this kind of thing into children, then they have no that jurisdiction that he was. I thought that was so good, because God has jurisdiction over everything. So if we don't go to God with everything, and we just start going into history that's been rewritten, different people's perception, cognitive disorders. I mean, you talk about a mess, and I believe we've sown to the wind, and we're reaping the whirlwind in our country right now. It doesn't. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that people are so confused. And this kind of program is so vitally important, because we need to think, as Wild Bill has said so many times, outside the box. You know, I'm really begin to put truth where truth is, put things starting like with Moses, the Ten Commandments. Because can you imagine the creator of the world? I mean, he's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and he limits 10 commandments that would bring peace to the entire world forever if we would obey it. And people say, oh, that's the law, that's the law. Yeah. And as read this week, the law is what teaches us how to live together, how to get along with each other, teaches us what God will allow and what he will not allow, what brings us close to him and what separates us from him. So it's a good thing. I'd hate to go down Highway 49 here without a few laws. I'd never make it to Walmart. But anyway, that's my viewpoint, Rob Bill.
No, let me see if.
Yeah, I was just thinking what I'm going through right now. You know, my body is my jurisdiction. Like, I heard it in an accident at work. And the state of Tennessee has jurisdiction over the law, over workers' compensation. My doctor is supposed to have jurisdiction over my care. The insurance company is supposed to have jurisdiction over paying the bill. And then all of it's supposed to be set up so that I get better. And yet, because of confusion and jurisdiction, the insurance company dictates to the doctor a time frame. It doesn't matter how many weeks or months they let, that no treatments were happening at all because they were going through their red tape. They're like, okay, this much time has transpired, so it's time to go to this. The whole thing with the, you know, modified duty, that they wouldn't put in the factor that once they forced me to perform modified duty, then basically my medical treatments became mute. Because it would be like having the trip to work and back and sitting in the chair was abusing the injured area. So it'd be like you having a wound that you were needed to have treatment on, and you go to the doctor and he treated on Monday, and then Monday, Tuesday, you would abuse it, and then Wednesday you'd come back and treatment again, and then Wednesday and Thursday you would abuse it, and then Friday you'd come back and get treatment again. It's never going to heal. It takes nothing beyond someone not having any common sense can't comprehend that. And yet the doctor told me yesterday, in one sense, he's right. He says, you're seeing yourself as the victim. You have options. Well, the options that they give me are that I can quit my job, which is the only thing that I can do, that I have my seniority built up in. I'm building up my retirement in, my benefits are built up in, that will pay some more of my education than the amount of money I can pay. So it feels almost like a blackmail, but there again, it's because insurance companies jumped over into a jurisdiction that wasn't theirs, and the doctor's allowing them to do this. What I'm trying to make clear here, and probably not doing a very good job, is that jurisdiction is one of those things that has to be held to what it's supposed to be. You know, finally yesterday, I didn't just go in there and be nice and let him say what he said and left. I made him listen to me to understand physically where I was before the accident. And he started talking about, well, you know, 10, 15 years ago. I'm like, no, I'm talking about 3 months before this accident. I went through the longest tour ever. And I went through there with no problem. You know, the very part is 200 steps straight down. And then when you go ready to leave, guess what? You got 100 steps straight up. And it's pretty steep, and the way they're angled and everything. And I didn't have any problem doing that. That didn't count for walking through all the walks and where you had to bend over to go under stuff and squat down and squeeze through the things I was able to. And yet today, I can't do that. And they're getting so on the radio show. But I'm trying to explain the importance of, if you don't establish your jurisdiction right, if you don't just hope, well, wait a minute, you need to understand, this is what I want. This is my jurisdiction. This is where I'm standing. You don't, things with God, we don't feel like we have jurisdiction on in schools and public anymore, because it's not politically correct. You know, Starla pushed us up the other day when everybody was throwing a fit about the gorilla getting killed, about, you know, how many people die a day in abortion. You know, we're all upset about a gorilla, and yet we have this happening on a daily basis in our country. I think it was 3,000 babies that take place. Somewhere there has to be go back to the moral jurisdiction with God. Not mankind, it was God. And so when we get into looking at, is this a woman's right to have jurisdiction over her body? Yes. She has a right to decide if she's going to have relations with someone. It could cause her to become pregnant. And then if she does, then she has the accountability to take place. But they don't want to put the jurisdiction there. They want to put the jurisdiction that you have a right to decide what you want to do with your body, even where it concerns another life. And that's just, God didn't give people that. So did I make a full circle and totally muddied water?
No, I really hear what you're saying, and I understand that. I think it's a beautiful illustration, too, because... I got a feedback, y'all. Is that okay?
You guys can't talk at the same time because it's something about
I'm
it.
I'm sorry about that.
Anyway,
well,
go
I'll
ahead.
Tell you what, those two people a while ago were talking at the same time, weren't they? I mean, they were really
yes,
talking.
Yes, I know. That was annoying.
She'd start it and he'd finish, and then it was just really interesting. I had to really think. Keep my focus
yeah.
so I could keep up with them. They covered a lot of things. But and what I was going to say about what Wild Bill said is that we do not have jurisdiction, and I like doctors and insurance and settlements and courts, and it's sad. It is really sad because we do the best we can. You know, like Wild Bill works a very hard worker, couldn't be any more dependable than he is, and has done everything, connected the dots exactly like they said, and yet you find yourself in a very vulnerable position. Everyone does. And this has been true, you know, as old as I am, I can recall when I was just very young, there was a newspaper in the town we lived, and it was the best. It was two newspapers, I won't mention their names, and all of a sudden this one newspaper
wanted you to get rid of everybody that was just about to retire, because then they was going to have to pay them, you know, for nothing, just pay them, you know, the retirement. And so they did, they maneuvered it all around, and they did. They got rid of everybody that was going to retire in just a few years. And that's so sad when people are doing the right thing, the best they can, and then yet the system, they get dropped out of it, you know, get hurt. And so if we take the basic Ten Commandments, that we're not to hurt each other, you know, we're not to lie to each other, we're not to steal, to covet. You know, if we obeyed that, there wouldn't be all of this corrupt business type situations that are everywhere. But one thing that really encouraged me when I was thinking about the United States and studying, you know, or like everyone is, about the end time, Nineveh in Jonah's day, Jonah and the whale, Nineveh was it was totally wicked, totally evil, absolutely could not have been more wicked. But when Jonah went in there and warned them, and they fasted, they got on their face before God, and God spared them. And no matter what we see in the United States, if we will go back to our own conscience, you know, go back to the Ten Commandments, go back to the cross, and we really humble ourselves, because he said that, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then God will hear and heal our land. So if we truly, truly want to see revival, it's up to each one of us to go before God, to be accountable to him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus summed it up right there, and we can see revival in our country. It is not too late if we will do that, you know, if each of us would take the responsibility to, you know, I only have jurisdiction over how much I pray. I can't make somebody else pray or fast or whatever, but I have jurisdiction there. I've let God have it, and then God will work with us in our country, and I believe everybody that can be saved will be saved if we'll really keep our eyes on the Lord and not so much on politics. And I know that's part of the real world, you know, but the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I tell you, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death everywhere and every which way, but God is with us, and he will keep us. That 6 verses will encourage anybody to read it before they go to bed tonight, and it will encourage us that God is on our side, and he's with us. He is our good shepherd. And I didn't mean to just keep on talking, so go ahead.
No.
Unmute.
I'll
be quiet so you can unmute.
He's at work right now.
Oh,
he's at work, so he just got there, so he probably won't be able to be back on.
I really appreciate what he said about the situation with doctors and jobs, because everyone is facing that right now. It's just a very tragic thing. You see it in the medical field. You see it with medications. You know, we've discussed that before. It just seems like it's all about money. And I'm not knocking. I know there's wonderful doctors, very, very dedicated. But they're caught in the same. They really don't have jurisdiction over a lot of things. They can only do so much. And then there's that. I worked for an insurance company one time, and my office was right next to the man that set the amount that could be given for a settlement. And he said, you know, people can ask for whatever, but they'll never get over. And he told me an amount, and I found that to be true. So I also worked in an area of that insurance company where there were five offices that had lawyers. No, there were 5 offices, and in my office, I think it's from years ago, they gave me all the mail, and if any letter did not have an attorney or somewhere attached to it, it was put in a file and almost like the dead letter office. I mean, it was just put in. I think later on that insurance company was sued and, you know, it was discovered a lot of that corrupt things. But isn't that sad that the same people that they had paid, you know, whatever premium and depended on that for hard times, but it just wasn't going to be there. And then it'd be too late, you know, to go to an alternative thing. So again, it's time for us to, as God's people, to turn to Him with all of our heart and seek His face and turn from our own. I want to share a little. Do I have a second to share something?
Mm-hmm.
It's a town, I guess, about 100 miles from here. And I went in to eat, to get something to eat, and another car pulled up. It's about the same time. Now, these people were obviously pretty close to what I believe as far as dress. They looked, you know, same religion, whatever. And I was trying to get through. They were sort of blocking the door and talking on their telephones and whatever. And so when I did get through the door, the lady in front of me was talking about prices to the lady, to the woman behind the server, and talking about different things. And so I just turned to the right, went to the restroom. So, because I've been driving a while, so when I got, this is interesting to me, I hope it makes sense of what we're talking about, but as I got to the door and stepped inside, the lady that had got in first, that was doing all the talking, began to scream, "She went in there before I did. Did you see her? She just cut right in front of me." Now, I'm telling you, she was up at the counter, and I just came in the door, and she went, she said, she just made a scene, so I was trying to get in and get out as quickly as I could. When I did come out, she had gone in the men's restroom and, just whatever. And I thought, you know, I think maybe you get the picture of what I'm, someone who screamed, yell.
That is ridiculous.
But, I mean, it was a big, you know, a big place there, and it was just a scene, totally unnecessary. I mean, I obviously she did have to go to the restroom, but to me, the wisest thing to do was to go before she got up in the front with all the questions. But anyway, sometimes we rant and rave over things that we have really no control over. It's out of our jurisdiction. But the area that we do have control over, to be humble, loving, kind, gentle, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These are the things we have jurisdiction over because Christ lives in us. And His Spirit, by His Spirit, we have power to live a godly life. And we can't do it without Him. There's no way in the world we live that we can do it without the Spirit of God within us, you know, walking with Him, being washed by His Word daily. But I just thought that was such a picture of how we can get so bent out of shape about the wrong things instead of getting bent into shape about the right things. I think I talked in circles a little bit there, but it was very interesting to me.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that is so true. And if you're on social media, you would really get a bigger picture of that. I mean, I think some people are, I don't know, this world is getting crazy quickly.
Well, that game that we used to play, I think they called it gossip. You know, you'd be in a room, it was supposed to be fun. One person at one end of the room would say something, and then by the time it got back, it was bizarre how different it was.
Yeah.
And so that's why, to me, Facebook and all of that is it's just bizarre, the things that are said. People vent But I know there's a lot of good things about it too. A lot of people have been really blessed. I'm not coming against it, but if we do have control over our own, what we put out, if with God's help, and that'll keep me. That keeps me busy. I don't have time to straighten anybody else out.
Yes.
And I think it's so interesting how sometimes. Go ahead.
Oh, just we could get too involved in politics.
The political part of it, just that cognitive in counseling, I had a form that had 10 cognitive behaviors, I guess you'd say, and I was looking over that today, and it is so interesting because some people like, they're just black and white. Buddy, it's black or white, that's it. I'm not talking about races, I'm talking about situations. And they can't flow anywhere in there. You know, they just in a negative sense. Now there's a positive way about that too. And then there's people that just jump to conclusions. They don't want to know all the facts. You know, just they're already out there with their opinion and you know, you get a room full of 10 people with those behaviors. You get a nation with people with those behaviors, and then you get them on social media. We got a lot of tension and stress moving around. But it's very interesting. I really appreciate this program too. That was interesting, exciting to listen to.
Yes. And I would like to find out who that woman was. Bill said it wasn't Marcia Blackburn. I was thinking that's who she said it was.
Well, it sounded like that when they introduced it. It sounded, I guess they moved to something else, or she may have been the person in charge.
It's a really interesting show. It's a weekly show. And it's so interesting to find out what the real history of our country is, not what they've made it up to be and changed it to be, but what it originally was.
The character of the people.
I really enjoy history.
That's good. Because when they try to make people that we've had respect for and that have done great things to shape our country, to try to make them out as immoral and alcoholics and all that, that is just so, I don't know, I just, it makes me sad that would happen. But that is the nature of the adversary that entered the Garden of Eden. He is a liar. He's the father of all lies. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. And we must know that the only weapon that we have against him comes through our God in Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the overpowering power of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, these are our weapons. This is the jurisdiction that God has given us. When Jesus preached, they said he speaks with such authority, not as the scribes, not as the, you know, the others, the Pharisees, whatever. And that same authority has been given to his children. We have the authority by his name and by his word to take dominion in situations if we will do it his way. But if we don't, if we enter the arena that Satan has, you know, sort of prepared for us, then we're going to reap confusion and more hatred and more murders and more whatever. It is very frightening, very, very frightening. I think we had a young man murdered in this area 3 to 4 days ago. It's just very tragic. And our service people, you know, people in military, just so many things that are heart-rending.
Yes, I totally agree. The world is becoming very wicked.
But just think about that. That I don't know why that is just so fascinating me about Jonah. Because he didn't even want to go. He's just, you know, he didn't really want God. He knew God was merciful, and he didn't want Nineveh to be forgiven because they'd been so mean and so brutal and so horrible. And Jesus just, in that story, everything about from the, you know, the large fish that God prepared, and then the whole area of him being in the fish and then being vomited out on the ground and then going back and then the gourd. As for one small book, there are so many lessons in that of the mercy and the long-suffering of our God. Such love. It's one of the most beautiful pictures of the love and mercy of God.
Yes, I totally agree.
I sure wouldn't want to get put into a... I wouldn't want to be on the ship in the storm, and I sure wouldn't want to be swallowed by a big fish.
No, that wouldn't be my first choice. No.
I would be so humble, I'm sure, when I came out. But he still wasn't. He did obey, but he was really... And so, you know, really, I guess I'm not really even making a point out of that, but aren't we that way politically? We are so opinionated, and so ego, you know, all about what I believe and how I see it, you know, each of us get into that mentality instead of just obey God, you know. If he says go and preach, go do it. If he says go and tell a particular nation what, you know, just do what God says. And he did in the Ten Commandments. He gave us a beautiful, beautiful outline of exactly how to be obedient. And it leads us to being able to repent and accept Christ and receive Christ into our life. Because if we do that, then, well, nobody does that. I know when I prayed through, it was when I realized how many times I had broken all of those commandments one way or another. And when I fell before God and repented and told him, you know, I'm sorry and I've grieved you, God. I've broken every commandment and asked him to forgive me. And then he gave me power to turn, and then baptism in Jesus' name. He washed them away, remitted them. They're not there anymore. It's just as if I'd never done them. Never, not a sin, not a broken commandment, because I was justified by his name and obedience to his word. God's got a good plan. Do you know it, Starla?
Yes, he does. God is good all the time.
And all the time. God is good. I love
you. Yes. Well, like Top Mom, if you don't have anything else, we're going to close it out for the night. And we want to thank you all for listening this week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.